Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio Presents OPA number 96. This is Kevin DeFrango. Sitting beside me is Ken Phillips. What's going on, sir?
Oh, well, we're just hanging out here at OPA Studios South. The hour's a little bit late, just to give people a little info, you know, knowledge of the context of our record here today.
This is what we do for you, the fans.
Yeah. But I think we're both in good spirits, and
yeah, you're in good enough spirits that you already finished your bell time beer of the week.
That is true. I did get off to a strong start there with but we were kind of preparing for a little while. I feel like
I watched most of the Vince McMahon announcement of the XFL 2020 earlier today, but we watched the first part and then listened on the YouTube to the full conference part. Yes. Where he did his Q&A. And yeah, it was kind of funny since a lot of wrestling fans in obviously the Stunt Granny orbit, so there was a lot of coverage of this. I'm glad, Ken, that we don't do video of this so that people don't need to see your basement and even the bookcase in my condo.
Oh.
much like the guy that already commented on it on YouTube, who was seemingly in his basement.
No, I was just trying to figure out why we don't want people to see in my basement here, but...
Well, that gnome is lovely, Ken.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad that I think that would be a lovely prop if we were going to have a video edition at some point. Perhaps we could offer that as a premium service one day.
Patreon account.
Yes.
So we can upgrade Stunt Granny Studios.
But Kevin, I saw today a headline. I think it was probably around lunchtime today. That there was an announcement to be expected from...
Well, yeah, I already mentioned that part.
Well, I don't think you mentioned that I had saw the announcement today.
Well, that is true. yeah, XFL coming back.
But when I saw that, it reminded me of, you know, I probably haven't thought of the XFL in a very long time. So it kind of brought back... I guess I brought myself back to try to remember a little bit about what the XFL actually was.
Well, I can't believe that you do not remember one of the league heroes of the XFL, one Thomas Maddox.
Well, wasn't he on like their championship winning team?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
That is something... if he didn't win the championship, he was in the championship game, I feel like.
Yeah.
Because I feel like his team got at least far. Like I think he did. I think they did win the championship, but now I'm gonna need to look that up on Wikipedia.
I wanna say that they did, but maybe that's just like the kind of perfect world version that I have in my head, because of course for people who may not know, Tommy Maddox was the quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers there for a
he bumped Cordell Stewart out of a job.
Yeah, I would say he was a quarterback during an exciting period for Steelers football. I feel like it's kind of like right before they really started getting good, but it was
AKA right before they drafted Ben Roethlisberger.
Exactly. But it still felt like that was a pretty good team. Like, you know, you never knew what exactly you were going to get from Tommy Maddox. But he had the potential to put a good game together for sure. And I wanted to believe, I guess, that he would be the quarterback that led his team to the only championship of the XFL.
Yes. Well, this idea is one of those things that it hasn't worked before multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's the USFL, you know, the XFL didn't work the first time. Melissa asked a good question. Does indoor football still exist? Like, didn't it fold?
Well, they were talking about arena football on the call with McMahon that we listened to. So I don't know if that is or if they were referring to that as something that, you know, hey, this didn't work. So what makes you think this is going to work? Because they said it in the context of, you know, what about all these other things? You know, are you going to be able to, you know, is there enough, appetite for football?
Oh, right.
But,
that's why, I think people rightly pointed out that you're not going to get the NFL does not have 32 good quarterbacks.
Well, that's what I was get into eventually here. Yeah. Because he did say at one point that obviously, I believe he said, obviously there's a multitude of talent out there available for us.
Yeah. Yes. He did use those words.
It was very similar if that wasn't his exact words, but, I'm not sure it's so obvious really.
No, I do not think there is at all.
No, I mean, I'm not sure. You, I don't want to really talk too much smack about the guy because his team did beat us, but I'm not sure that Blake Bortles is necessarily a great. I mean, he's obviously. I mean, anyone in the NFL is obviously an exceptional athlete. I would say. Would you agree, Kevin?
Yes. Yeah, I am sure that they can probably lift more, run faster. Whatever, physically better than us.
Yeah, but still there's enough, I don't know, not great quarterbacks, shall we say, or non-great quarterbacks that I would say sometimes you see ugly football in the NFL based on a lack of skill, I think. Would you say that that's a bridge too far there?
No, because that's why I get amused when people try to tell me that college football is better, and I'm just like, oh my god, no. There are so many plays that are complete trash. No, get out of here. And I'm not saying that the NFL is perfect, you know, like, but it is way better than college football. Yeah. In those terms. And I mean, basically the XFL would be an extension of college football. Like, and there might be someone, you know, we already mentioned Tommy Maddox. Like, there are always guys that seem to slip through the system for whatever reason. Or, you know, maybe they just didn't, they honestly to goodness didn't do well. And for some reason they got it together in the meantime.
Yeah, I forget what happened.
You know, because I know that there have been other players that have gone to like the CFL for a couple of years and come back.
Well, I think Doug Flutie famously did that, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. Yeah, because you can't really say that Warren Moon started there. I don't think you can really say
that's right.
That
yeah.
He, you know, was in the NFL and came back.
Yeah. I don't know. It's so yeah, you're right. Now, so if there's not enough, I guess, good quarterbacks to fill the whole NFL, it seems it could be a little bit tricky to get enough players to be able to field a whole another league. Now, it's only 8 teams, but still, I don't know.
And I guess, as usual, I could probably... That's a smart idea, I would think, to keep it to a minimum of teams. Because that's one of those ones where, with any expansion to any sport, you worry about diluting the talent pool.
Right. Now, one thing that kind of surprised me a little bit when I first heard this is that McMahon is saying that they want to start the league in January. Is that, you have any thoughts about that there, Kevin?
that seems like craziness. I know that curiosity will 100% get the better of me.
Oh, yeah. I would say I'll probably check it out at some point.
So, I'll be tuning in for that first game just because it's a thing.
And, I mean, we were kind of, I think, maybe half joking by saying that, or, you know, it could happen, that they might look at Columbus as a potential city for the XFL. I mean, that would be tempting, I guess, to go check it out at some point. Just to see.
If it definitely happens in person, it would be more of a draw to me in a lot of ways. it would be kind of amusing to have that happen.
Right. But I don't know. The timing wise, it does seem a little bit strange to be going up against NFL playoffs and Super Bowl to be starting your league.
That's just kind of a bad time. Like, I remember it's one of the few Tuesday morning quarterback. Always used to write how the first two weekends of the playoffs are always the best because you get four quality games. Like, the scores might not end up reflecting it, but I mean, you should really have.
Yeah, that wild card round is pretty good a lot of times.
And then the next week is usually good too. And there's just four games. And then the following week, since it's championship week, there's only two games. So it's not quite as festive in a way because there are less games.
Exactly. Things are winding down a little bit. But if, I guess, to dovetail into that, if things are winding down a little bit around that time, maybe that is a good time for a new league to kind of start up. Also, you consider, like, the first few games, you know, are probably not that important for people to, like, be distracted from, you know?
Oh.
So, like, if they're overlapping their first few games against the NFL, and then also sort of, I don't know, striking while the iron's hot, almost idea of, like, getting people to transition from already watching football to just continue watching football in different...
And college football has just wrapped up in early January. You might be hoping to retain a little more of the viewership. Yeah,
there's a reason. At first I thought it was crazy, but there are some reasons that it might give you reason to work. But then again, I almost like the idea of it starting earlier, like they said, like in spring. Because then you have a little bit of time there to be like, oh, I kind of miss football.
Oh, yeah, I probably watched more of NFL Europe than I did the XFL.
Was that the same as USFL? Or was that...
No, because the NFL teams actually loaned players to some of the... World League teams.
Oh, World League. Oh, yeah. Okay.
And part of it's probably what I do now with soccer, which is it's on early in the morning because it was over in Europe. So, like, I'm cleaning the house and I'd have a World League game on because what the hell else is on a Saturday morning, really? It is not a cartoon haven anymore like it once was back in our childhood.
Yeah. So you'd rather watch a World League football game?
Yeah, sure. Like, I'm not really paying attention to it, but I may as well pop it on the TV and just kind of pay attention or look at it. I mean, one James Harrison played in the World League.
That's funny. Of course, Patriots linebacker James Harrison.
Yes.
We're familiar with him.
Unfortunately.
Yes. But I don't know. So we'll see how this ends up working out for them. Also, there's no TV deal, which I don't know. He didn't say. It sounds like it's going to be totally separate from the WWE. At first, I thought they were maybe going to piggytail on with their like video streaming service, but I guess it sounds like that's not going to be the way they go.
Yeah, it's a separate entity. Like even Vince mentioned again in the call that the investment in the league is too high, even for what the WWE is making. So they, yeah, they aren't really involved at all. And I guess he did say, like, he used the word reimagined so many times, in this.
Yeah.
And he just said that, it's not going to be the same. You know, it's the XFL isn't going to be the same. Like, a lot of people do seem to want the whole, jersey. Alternate names on the jerseys.
Well, I just think that was like basically the thing that everybody remembers from the XFL, being able to people have their whatever they want on the back of their jerseys,
right?
But this does not seem, in many ways, it seems almost like a negative image of the original XFL, like the opposite in some ways. Because
oh, yeah, we realized it sucked, so we're gonna do something different here.
Well, yes.
And I guess that's the other part to me. The one part to me that sticks out, and that kind of topic made me think about it, is he talked about reimagining football. It's one of those things to me that I'm like, are there some little tweaks that I'd like to make? Sure. Reimagining? No, I don't need to. Like, I like it. Like, if you want to say that kickoffs are too dangerous and people get hurt and everyone's just going to start at the 20-yard line, sure. Like, I mean, I know that it's a bit of a radical change in and of itself, but I also kind of understand the thinking of, you know, and, well, and I guess it plays into his thing about things being safer. Like, and I do believe that everyone's pretty much said, just because the guys are building up steam and running at each other at that play, like, usually at least they've got to accelerate and move instead of just kind of being on a head-on collision type of situation like the kickoffs and and punt returns are.
Yeah, that can be more dangerous that way for sure. And sometimes people can get hit from a, you know, when they're not seeing it coming, or because things can kind of develop more in a 360 degree kind of situation than they would if you're on offense or defense where there's a line of scrimmage.
Yeah, there's a line of scrimmage. There's at least 4-5 linemen on the offensive side and 3-4 for the defense that are probably going to stay in a relatively small area. Like, everyone's going all over the place on kickoff. Well, not all over the place. They have their lanes, but I mean...
Yeah, there's still a lot more movement than there would be...
In a normal play.
In a normal play. Yeah. And I always liked the special teams, but I guess I could see why they would have to... You know, if they wanted to do away with that for safety reasons. So, yeah, that was maybe the most was chuckling out loud during when he was talking about reimagining... player safety and basically spouting a bunch of BS without saying anything in response to someone's question about what they're going to do about that. So
yeah, it's one of those things to me that just football and hockey, there's only so much you can do to limit the violence, I suppose, without radically changing the game.
Right.
Making it
flag football or something like that.
Yeah, because despite the persistent claims of the NFL being flag football, I think it's mostly the quarterbacks and the wide receivers, I feel like, have gotten more coverage. Everybody else, not so much.
Yeah, I mean, but what can you do? Like, I mean, the running backs are, they're just like, they're exempt from all the rules, and I think they're probably, like, the most injured position, I would think.
Well, yeah, that's why their shelf life is so short, and why a lot of teams don't invest that much in a running back these days.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they do get injured, their shelf life tends to be much shorter than the average player.
Because they're getting friggin' destroyed on every play. I mean, it's pretty crazy. So, I mean, there's part of me that wonders, like, if they were to go to something more like flag football, would I still watch it? And I'm not sure. It does take some of the fun out of the game when you're thinking about, you know, watching people getting brain damage. But would the would that make, you know, removing that kind of make up for some of the excitement that you get from the more physical game, you know, watching?
Yeah, so. And I'm always at least partially of the mindset that maybe not in yesteryear, but I think the players of today have a little bit more information at their disposal and kind of know what they're getting into.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that the NFL shouldn't maybe help former players more in the long run when things pop up.
Right.
Than they have been currently. But, you know, I do also think that, you know, it's something that you're taking a chance on. And you're making a poop ton of money doing it, too. Well, maybe.
Yeah, but then it's like, do I want to support that then? I guess is kind of the question that that I sometimes think about, because whether they... You know, it's like literally watching gladiators fight it out in the Colosseum, you know? I mean...
No, I'd call that the UFC.
Oh, there you go.
Which, again, I... Well, the funny thing actually about the UFC is that there is less of a concussion rate than there is in football.
Well, that's what I was... That's what I had thought.
It is more limited... You know, a lot of people don't do striking to the head, obviously, during training camp.
Yeah.
Or at least it's limited or padded.
And also, I mean, the fights are intense, but they're not lasting for, 3 hours or whatever it is that football game lasts.
Oh, and that was something that you mentioned, the 3 hours. But I mean, what? It's really 60 minutes.
Yes.
You're at most playing half. Well, you know, you're maybe playing half of that game, so you probably get about 30 minutes.
Yes, and some of those time that runs off is nobody's playing. You're just walking around or getting ready to play. So, you know, it depends how you want to break it down.
There is a lot of stoppage time in football that I always love that argument about soccer. There's nothing happening all the time. There's nothing happening in football nine out of every 10 seconds. So piss off.
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure I understand that argument. But if they... Okay, so yes, that was another thing that was being reimagined by Mr. McMahon in his...
The
length of the game. Yeah.
The length of the game, you brought it up, but it's also funny... that he mentioned that, because do you want to venture a guess at what WWE's Monday Night Raw clocks it in at on a weekly basis?
Is it 3 hours?
Well, actually, it's probably closer to 3 hours and 5 minutes at least.
Ah. So
yes, he is imagining football games being shorter than the giant moneymaker of his original company, which is hilarious. And of course, multiple wrestling people pointed this out.
So I think I heard him say 2 hours maybe for a game.
Yeah, was what they were aiming for. And that was the other thing. He was talking about getting rid of halftime, and I'm like, are you trying to get, like, you're trying to go for safety, but you don't want them to get a rest in between so that
I would think
the,
they're tired.
The rest,
I would think
helps.
The tired players are more likely to get injured.
Yes.
So
yeah, I would agree with that statement.
So I'm not sure that that really flows together very well. But you know what, Kevin? He did say he's willing to. He wants to hear from us. So we could let him know about that, I suppose.
Yeah.
What the one thing that several reporters wanted to ask him about too, was, you know, of course, was the kneeling thing. So. He's trying to, I feel like, not be overtly political, although obviously people are going to read into that, that, is itself sort of political to,
yes, the fact that he is pretty much saying you're going to need to stand for the national anthem, that there would be no protest.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, again, yeah, it is something of a statement in and of itself.
I don't think so he wasn't trying to totally turn off, you know, I would say he denied trying to go after the people who were, you know, annoyed by the NFL protests, but that's got to be part of what he's thinking with launching this league now, I think. Also, I think trying to have his cake and eat it too by not ticking off more moderate people or liberals who would be more sympathetic with the players.
Right.
But, you know, I have a feeling that there would be more, you know, in general, the league will probably be more conservative than the NFL, which is definitely different than the XFL having their kind of skimpy outfits with their cheerleaders and having people be able to write whatever the name they wanted on the back of their jersey. So it wouldn't surprise me if they cut down on some of that stuff, just from kind of the tone that I was picking up on.
You don't think Stormy Daniels is going to be one of the cheerleaders in the new XFL?
That would be pretty wild. I think I read somewhere that they were not going to have cheerleaders at all, but I don't... didn't come up in our...
We listened to. Yeah, it really didn't come up. I don't... Like, that's one of those things that I guess I've never really completely gotten it.
Well, those.
I'm not saying that the women are unattractive or don't do a good job.
What does it have to do with football?
Well, yeah, I'm there for a football game. I know that there's supposed to be distractions, but.
So how do you feel about the shovel girls in the NHL?
I don't really care. If it was all guys that went out and did that, I'd still not pay attention. You know?
Normally you would, if you saw guys out there, you know, doing anything, you'd be like, well, hello, sailor. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's what I figured. Got me.
But yeah, and I guess they are at least doing something, so it kind of makes sense in terms of...
I mean, they are cleaning the ice. Like, yeah. It's obviously not a Zamboni-level cleaning or anything, but it's a good quick way during the short break to help make the surface better prepared to skate on.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Obviously, a lot of questions unanswered here. I wouldn't be surprised if they mostly had southern cities. That's my guess. Just based on starting in January, you probably want to have warmer climate.
That's always been one of those things that about soccer here in the U.S. that the MLS plays during the summer months. But all of the teams over in Europe play during the winter months. But I just don't think that, you know, January, February, and even usually the beginning of March, it can be brutally cold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And pretty much anywhere north of Kentucky or so.
Yeah, and I think that was a reason why they said maybe not such a great idea to have a soccer team in Austin in the summertime, because it's
gonna be really hot down there. Hot.
Yeah, but you know, that's just apropos of nothing. Don't know why I thought of that. And too, having a XFL kind of primarily be in the South would make sense for them. If they were going after conservatives, for viewership and attendees.
Well, yeah, but then you have, I mean, you can still do California and places like that where the climate will be...
well, they mentioned San Diego, which I think is known as more of a conservative city in California.
No.
Which still has, I believe, the nicest climate of any city in the United States. At least one point it was voted to have the nicest climate.
Oh.
So,
well, good for them.
Yes. So that could be, and I do believe they just lost a football team there not too long ago. So.
Yeah, it did kind of crack me up. People were asking a lot of questions, and I guess, I guess the other thing that's at least a little bit weird about this situation is that he made the announcement and it's not going to pop up until 2020.
Yeah, this is another way that they are kind of the opposite of the old XFL, where they rushed everything together and really didn't even give teams a chance to practice before the season started. This is the opposite of that, in giving them kind of a 2-year ramp up just to get everybody
get some ready for it. Row.
Yeah,
yeah, it could be a benefit to them if they work hard in trying to figure out the product, or, you know, take a year or so to listen to people's suggestions and then go from there. I mean, I don't know how you aggregate something like that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean,
just because, again, you're not going to please everyone all the time, so you've got to put something out there at some point.
Yeah, and I think I saw, I'm not sure who it was, shared on Twitter a picture of Homer Simpson in the episode of The Simpsons where he came up with a design for a new car, and it had like a space-age bubble on top of it and kind of looked like a Jetsons mobile or something. But it was completely unworkable. So sometimes if you ask the public, you get... results like that was the gist of the Twitter tweet.
I thought you were going to talk about the one where there was an episode where Homer wore XFL gear.
Oh, I'll have to look that one up now. Sounds so interesting.
Yeah, I was not into The Simpsons when that was around, so.
Missed out on that one.
Yeah. I missed out on the supposed great years and then watched some mediocre years and then finally tapped out a few years ago.
Well, Kevin, it turns out that some of our primate relatives are also missing out on something. it's not just you and The Simpsons.
Yep, I was going to make a Homer is an ape reference, but, you know, hey, if that's the segue you want to go with.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty strong. nothing against your Homer ape segue. But, yeah, so this was an interesting article about kind of the differences that they found in between human and other great ape brains. And this was research done at your alma mater, Kent State University.
Yeah, there were a couple of experts from good old Kent State. So this definitely makes it an O segment, or at least heavily influenced. And it was kind of interesting that... what they kind of ended up finding out, they tested different levels of, are they brain part? They're not brain
they
particles.
They sliced up these brains from different types of apes. So they, we had bonobos, macaques, capuchins, gorillas, chimpanzees, and they sliced these sections apart. And then put different kinds of chemicals on them that would react based on what
neurotransmitters type?
What neurotransmitters these brains were responsive to.
Yeah.
And they ended up finding out that the human brain has a lot more dopamine than these other other types of primates. So they also found that
There was less acetylcholine, which is linked to dominant and territorial behavior, that was more in gorillas and chimpanzees.
Yes.
Which they did make the reference that you can get humans on a bus and not everyone's going to die. If you did that with chimpanzees.
No, I think they said that, you know, you can put strangers together on a bus and, you know, they might strike up a conversation if they're humans.
Right.
But if you put a bunch of chimpanzees together on a bus, they would most likely murder each other. And
yeah, it's a pretty crazy difference. I mean, considering that we are very closely related DNA-wise.
Yeah.
Like, there is a giant... Even though they have an organized society, there's still some huge differences between the two.
Yeah, and there's a lot of similarities, too. Some people more than others in some ways. But there's a little joke there, Kevin. No, it's a... Now, what does the dopamine mean? Well, that turns out to have to do with how well we cooperate with other members of our species. And this article says that basically is a big reason that we are kind of the main species, I guess, on Earth, like the dominant species on Earth.
Oh, well, yeah, and they definitely said that this was early in these studies.
Mm-hmm.
So they did say to kind of approach this with some level of caution.
Well,
but you know, it did make things like you said. It turned us. Well, it may have turned us into the dominant society on this planet Earth.
Yeah,
for this time period,
because we can actually stand to be around each other long enough to cooperate. And I believe they also laid out an idea of how this kind of cooperation dopamine sensitivity could have been reinforcing or self-reinforcing. I think basically they said that women were looking for mates who were not too aggressive, but still outgoing. And then also males together would be more successful at, say, hunting and other activities if they're able to work together.
Yeah, which makes a lot of sense. I mean, because you even see it in nature where a lot of things hunt in packs.
Well, for sure. Other mammals, you know, and the more similar... they are to us, I suppose, the more that they would. So like something like sharks or lobsters do not hunt in packs.
Lobster.
Or have like social units that they work together. But you know, more so with mammals like wolves, to the point where you kind of move up. And they did say like other great apes have more of this dopamine and kind of increases their social interactions. But humans are really unique in our amount of this dopamine receptors and ability to cooperate with each other. So,
yeah. And they did say that dopamine is involved in many functions. So it's... That is one of the other reasons why it might be a little bit hard to pinpoint, at least currently, with the way technology is going these days, Ken. We might find out sooner rather than later.
Yeah, you might be right about that, Kevin. Some things that we thought maybe were farther off are not actually so far off at all.
Yeah, and we do love to talk tech around here. and we love our robots. And this one happens to be a self-healing robot.
Yes.
And there's a video that will either be linked or accompany this this very post.
Well, it's a real shame, Kevin, that we're not doing a video podcast because our listeners missed out on some of the wonderful robot hand motions you were just making.
This is what they'll pay the big bucks for, Ken. I need to reel them in.
Yeah, that's going to do it, I think. So the idea behind this video, I would say, is that making robots out of different materials than maybe we would thought of originally, and how that is beneficial, because then you don't have to, some of the safety issues maybe that you would if you were dealing with a robot that's made out of metal. They show the video here of the robot shaking hands with a human.
Oh, right.
And if you were going to shake hands with a robot made out of metal, whoops, apply a little too much pressure and, your hand is crushed.
Yeah, things are going bad if that happens. If it's some, plastic, honestly, because it's this plastic is self-healing.
Yeah, that was a really cool substance there.
It reminds me, all of the cutting mats that I used in studio were supposed to be self-architecture studio, were supposed to be self-healing.
Calling BS on it.
Yeah, it was okay, but at some point you wore it out. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a cooler level of that now, because they did just say that all it needs is a little bit of heat and it'll come back together. And I mean, it genuinely looked like the one time that they ripped it apart and put it back together, you really couldn't tell where the crease was.
No, you're right. There was no visible line that I could see. And there was a time where they did it at an extreme, kind of almost microscopic close-up. And then they showed them kind of healing back together again, and you really couldn't see a line.
Yeah, because even with, again, going back to the mat explanation, like if you cut the line, you'd kind of see it heal. But then, the next time you cut somewhere near there, it kind of opens up a little bit more. And, you use it enough and things just get fucked.
Right, technically speaking.
Yeah, you just need to get a new cutting mat at that point if you want it to be a completely even surface. But, these things looked, this plastic that they used really seemed to fuse back together at a different level, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like almost, we just saw the video, but it looked almost like it was sticky in a way that it would stick back together again, but more like a glue that kind of almost flowed back together, but still keeping a, rubbery texture and feel. So I don't know. It's a pretty cool looking material that I think should
and I would think that there's still going to need to be some parts of a robot that are going to need to be whole, at least for the time being, but the video did mention that there's a lot of research going into soft robots now,
right? And like you were saying, more non-solid robots, sort of. The example was from the movie Big Hero 6, Baymax, who was, our listeners may remember, inflatable health droid, I believe, that was programmed to scan your health and see how you were. But that would make sense to have something that's inflatable in that situation, because you wouldn't want it to, like we said, injure somebody with their robotic claws.
There would definitely be certain spots, like the hand would make me feel a little bit better if it weren't completely solid.
Mm-hmm.
you know, I'm not sure that I need to worry about it having soft abs.
Well, what could be the harm, though? I mean,
if you're going to do it, just make it look good. Give it a six pack.
Yeah, I just had a vision of those. What were that? Boston Robotics, the robots that we had talked about a while back on our show.
Oh.
The kind of crazy dog thing and the walking robots that they were pushing over.
Right. And there's been another video of that robot since then. It's I believe they've made improvements on it.
But those robots are pretty scary looking, I gotta say. And if they could make them out of something a little bit less terrifying, I'm thinking that would help the adoption of robots and probably make things a little bit safer there too.
Oh, yes, Ken. Speaking of safe, we may not be safe from fake news for very long, Ken.
Yeah, I think so, Kevin. In particular, this article was... obviously it's more, the dangers and implications of this are more... far-reaching, but I guess this is the first place that people tend to go to with new technology for whatever reason is to how can we make porn with it?
Yes,
that's the first question that people seem to ask. How can we use this to make porn? Because that is exactly what some enterprising people have done.
Yes, they've turned some artificial intelligence work into porn in that they are replacing porn star faces with other famous people's faces.
Mm-hmm.
And the technology, as you witnessed before the show, you were watching it on your phone. The difference is imperceptible on a phone.
For sure.
In the fake scene that you saw, I watched it on my computer. It was you had to pay attention to make out the difference because there is just a little round area like around the edges of the face that you had to look at to be able to tell that the other face had been pasted on there.
Now for just for full disclosure, I was not watching a pornographic scene. this was a fan remake of the very end of Star Wars Rogue One. I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
Oh,
where,
yes.
Princess Leia is given the plans to the Death Star, and she is off to find Obi-Wan Kenobi. They used a CGI version of... Carrie Fisher for that original movie.
Correct.
And someone had used this AI technology to replace that with
well, I believe what they did is they said what you can do is you can replace someone with someone who is relatively Carrie Fisher's height and weight. And then just put the face on that person, and then you can't really tell the difference.
Yes.
I believe was what they actually did in that Star Wars example in the article. So I think they actually had someone recreate it.
Oh, okay.
And then they put the face on there.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, so it looked as good, at least I would say, as the version that they used in the actual theatrical release, and I'm guessing it cost several million dollars less to make it, because they said that this could have been made by someone, you know, either at a decent home computer or using the some cloud service to process it in a few hours. So I think we mentioned that people were using this to make pornographic videos, because, and more than that, somebody like built a platform basically for other people to use to make videos without needing to really know how to code it all up together.
Right, which that's pretty crazy. Like, I that is not a skill that I have to develop apps.
Yeah, and I mean, it's one thing to build something that it'll work for yourself, but then to put the extra effort in to generalize it so that someone who is not a programmer can just go ahead and use it as a tool is another level of difficulty there. So somebody went through a lot of trouble to make this, Kevin, is what I'm saying. And
and they just let it out for free.
Yeah. And people are using it. So there's
it's not completely crazy at this point, but 15,000 subscribers to this person's Reddit page. Deep fake.
Yeah, and I guess deep faking is becoming a verb. So this guy has achieved a level of immortality that maybe that's why he spent all that time making it, Kevin. I don't know. But it's...
Yeah, I was kind of amused that a lot of the fakery did center around the Star Wars universe, since someone used the app to put Daisy Ridley's face on a porn star's body.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it just seems... it makes you think that maybe we, in our, yours and mine's life, we've kind of lived through a golden age of actually knowing what the heck is going on in the world. Because it seems like videos are basically going to be useless in terms of evidence of what's real and what's not real.
Oh.
Very shortly, I would say.
Or there's going to have to be some way to code it that it's not not computer generated.
Mm.
Or at least I would think that there would be some way to be able to tell the difference instead of having to look over everything multiple times to see if there's a glitch in the matrix that stands out and says that it is reproduced.
Yeah, I mean... There's still, on these current examples, if you look closely, they say you can tell if it's been altered. But they also said that in a few years, that probably won't be the case anymore. as these AI programs get trained better and more sophisticated, you won't be able to even tell through analysis necessarily whether something's been faked or whether it's a real video. So I don't remember the quote here. Maybe I can find it real quick. Basically, somebody summing up what the future holds for us here in terms of what we can expect to how we can perceive reality in a way. Viral videos and celebrity media already operate on a plane of pure entertainment, but this will only get sexier and memeier and lulzier and ever more unreal. So I'm not sure who this is. Oh, Jay Owens at audience intelligence platform Pulsar. So basically, if we've been worried about the internet telling us that nothing matters and that nobody can really know anything.
We are going to be in that weird, dystopian future that, as another preview before, The Last Jedi, we're all going to be living in trash heaps here in Columbus, Ohio.
Oh yeah, that's right.
In like 10 years. And everyone is going to jump into fake reality to earn $1 trillion.
Ready Player One, yes.
Ready Player One, yeah. I couldn't
remember. I almost got you that book, too. But, yes, that was a... that could be the vision of our future as well. And to to be, and I know there's people that are already using virtual reality and things like that these days, but when things continue to get more and more believable, it is sort of makes you wonder what will prevent people from, you know, I guess not believing anything that you see with unless it's your own eyes, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird.
I feel like trust is already at fairly low levels. And I would say that I'm going to have to start agreeing with people pretty soon if things keep going the way they are.
Oh, man, Ken. Well, something that does exist in this physical realm of ours.
Tell me, Kevin, please. I'm desperate to know.
Are the Belltime beers of the week.
Ding, ding.
Which this week, Ballast Point. And they are, they're out of California, I do believe. I can't believe that they don't actually mention it in the post here. But, this one was, the Big Eye IPA. 7% alcohol, 71 IBUs. What says you, Mr. Phillips?
Well, I, don't believe I'd ever tried a Ballast Point, beer before. So, I was, thought I'd give it the IPA shot, this time. And I don't know. It probably wasn't my favorite. Very bitter, I would say.
Oh, there was a little bit in there. I was, I guess, I was a little surprised just because you did drink it very quick. I was kind of expecting a good review, yeah, I guess I really do a lot get stuck on the citrusier side of IPAs. And when there isn't as much of that, I'm not as impressed by it. So this one was definitely not one of my favorites. I do think that they make good beer in general. Although I'm trying to remember if they're one of the companies that got bought out too.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah, I obviously didn't hate it. As you point out, I did. drink the whole thing without too much trouble there, but I guess just not my favorite.
Yeah, like I said, I agree with you. Probably not one of my favorites. So yeah, I'm at DeFrango 11. He's at Gozer 33. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, wherever you may listen to us. And I am out of here.
See ya.